Welcome to Leadership 101. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is it that leadership really, really wants from me? The great baseball manager, Leo Desher, was asked by some individuals who was his favorite all-time player that he had ever coached. Now, lots of people were shocked when he named Dusty Rhodes. Rhodes was a little-known pitch hitter, not really a big-name player at all. And Desher asked him, what is so special about Dusty Rhodes? Here was his reply. In a tight game, when I look down the bench for a pitch hitter, some players would avert their gaze and refuse to look in my direction at all. But Dusty Rhodes would look me right in the eye, smile, and tap his bat. He was always available. He was always ready. Spiritually speaking, my friends, we need to be always ready when an opportunity arises for the leadership to be able to put us into the game, into play with regards to the Lord's cause. Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asketh you the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." But be always ready. That's what leadership is looking for. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, and this is a beautiful passage from verses 14 through 17. But in verse number 15, he says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Being ready means being prepared. And we prepare ourselves, Ephesians 6 and verse number 18, through prayer. Paul said that he wanted people to pray for him always. And we prepare ourselves by Bible study. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, he says, "Study, be diligent, study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So my friends, my question to you is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you able to sing that song, "Put Me In, Coach"? Here is a guy who had the confidence, was ready to go. So I want to remind you of a biblical event. It's recorded for us in the book of Nehemiah, that when Nehemiah heard from his brother about the devastation of Jerusalem, that here sat a ready man. He was ready to receive the information. He was ready to hear the words that somebody needed to be ready to build the wall around Jerusalem. And so in Nehemiah chapter 1, we don't get very far in the chapter, verse number 4, and it says, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." He was ready in prayer. And in chapter 2, he was ready to meet the king. He made preparation. It took him a couple months to get everything together, to work out the plan. And when he had opportunity to be before the king, he brought his proposal before the king. Having the favor of God, having the favor of the king, then he goes to Jerusalem and he tells the leaders of the people these words, verse number 17 of chapter 2. "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are now in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands to this good work." And so you have a ready and willing leader who is calling people to be ready and willing in their service, and they too are willing. And it interests me that in chapter 3, you find them beginning to build on the wall. And in chapter 3, probably the most dynamic chapter in all of the book of Nehemiah, often overlooked, is a simple phrase, "And next unto him, and next unto him, and next unto him." Read with me. We don't have a lot of time, so read with me down through chapter 3. "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep's gate. They sanctified it and set apart." Verse number 2, "And next unto him builded." "And next unto them builded." And then verse number 4, "And next unto them." And twice, three times in verse number 4. Verse number 5, "Next unto them." All the way throughout the chapter, some 30 some odd times, it says "next unto them." A joint effort, working together. Now, there are some idiosyncrasies here in this text. For example, it says in verse number 5 that the nobles of Teoka, that they would not put their necks to the work of the Lord. In other words, they were not going to get their hands dirty. And there are a lot of people like that today. They don't want to get their hands dirty. But then you look at verse number 12, and you see that in this particular tribe, that even the women, even the daughters, put their hands to hard labor. That they listen, it wasn't they were cooking and cleaning and doing all of the hard work, but they were also building on the wall. And then can you imagine verse number 14? "Here are individuals with no complaint that are working on the dung gate." How smelly that might have been. But yet they repaired all of those things. And then there's this wonderful guy by the name of Baruch. Out of all of these 30 to 35 times that the word "next unto them" is utilized, and they repaired and they built the wall, here's one simple statement: that Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece. He earnestly repaired. He was diligent in his effort to get the job done. My friends, it's no wonder that in chapter 4, in verse number 6, it says, "So build we the wall, that the wall was joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And then in chapter 6, we find in verse number 15, "So the wall was finished in 20 and the fifth day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Nehemiah and this people were able to finish a wall in 52 days that had lied dormant, my friends, for 92 years. And they did it because what leadership really wants is for willing workers. My friends, God bless you, and be a willing worker in the kingdom of God today.